I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back in on WQAM. Hope all are having a good Wednesday morning here. I'm Hollywood. Dan Day with you as well. Brittany driving the program. Jamie is here. Our new guy Jamie is with us. And Blake is here as well. This is the most people we've ever had here on our morning crew this morning. Someone asked, where is Harold? Harold is not here today. I don't want to get too deep into his personal life, but he is with family. He will be back with us next week. This is the time of year where a lot of people in our business do tend to take vacations. I will, Dan, be now in less than 2 weeks vacationing for work purposes to Charlotte. We have the ACC media kickoff. Just heard yesterday from our friends at the Orange Bowl. Mike reached out yesterday and, you know, he said we're setting some stuff up. So we're going to have some good interviews for you that week, as we always do, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It'll be a week from next Tuesday, so that is around the corner. We're staying, by the way, all the way through Thursday, just in case the Bill Belichick thing, just in case it happens.
I heard Paul Feinbaum saying on ESPN that he is contractually obligated to speak with the media in some way,
forms. So I told you, they have a big ballroom that they set up, a big hotel ballroom, and they have all the main media people, and he will go up on the stage and speak. I mean, no question. The question is, though, will he walk around Radio Row with all the different radio stations down there? My guess is no.
I think, yeah.
My guess is no.
Nick Saban used to do it. I mean, if Nick Saban did it or had to do it, because you know he didn't want to do it, if he did it, Bill Belichick might have to do it. At least not everybody, but hopefully at least to you.
I'd be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I will tell you that the Hurricanes will come down there. They will join us. We'll find out, by the way, in the coming days here, who will be going for which teams. I'm guessing Miami will be bringing their quarterback. Outside of that, not sure yet who they will be bringing.
Francis Malanoa and Reuben Bain Jr. for sure. They're all Americans.
I mean, the Canes have a handful of guys that they could bring up there. But those would probably be high on the list. Texter here, Brittany, this is for you, says you need your own F1 show. You broke the news this morning. Huge news, by the way.
I agree.
I'm all for that. If there's a way that we could make that happen, I'll talk to Len, see if we can pull some strings here and make that happen.
I appreciate it.
We are an F1 market.
I know, and that's what I tell everybody, because on Tobin and Leroy, like, I always bring up F1, and they're always like ripping me, like, no one cares. I'm like, well, we should care, because we have a GP that comes here every year.
Did they hit you with the no one cares thing?
Yeah, always
How many people go to that event? 300,000 over the course of 3 days?
It's insane.
Probably more than that.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's a big, big event. So I don't know that they hit you with the no one cares thing. I do think people do care here.
They have their own channel that you have to subscribe to and pay for. The F1 channel. I've had a lot of people tell me about that.
This guy, 786, is just really riled up here this morning. He says, you guys don't even take calls from the Dolphins fans, bro.
Oh, we do.
That right there tells me you guys have corporate ass kissers. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the corporate ass kissers thing means. I almost like want to tell this guy to call just to see what his like scorching hot take is. If this guy, Brittany, if this guy calls, his number ends in 5-1, just put him on the air, okay?
All right, I will.
Well, also,
and he can call us corporate ass kissers to our faces. And
remember game day? Remember game day uncensored post game? I immediately start taking calls directly after the game, and we take calls all night long, uncensored. When I say uncensored, I don't sit there and screen these people. I tell them, look, say what you want to say, say what you got to say. If you say a little too much, we'll have to dump you. But no, we take it. We're not handcuffed in any way, shape, or form.
This guy just keeps going on and on about taking calls. He says take calls for the people. Here you go, 5-1 guy. Call us now, and if you give a good call, well then we'll continue on. Okay, if you have a really good strong call and you make some good points, then we'll go from there. Okay, give us a call.
I do want to ask you this, Dan.
This guy's really ripping us, so we'll see what a scorching hot take is about the Dolphins, Dan. I am now hoping that he calls.
Not to shift away too much, but you are going to ACC Media Days with the Orange Bowl and Duffy's. I'm hoping that the new defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherman, will be there, and you can get some good information from him. I'm excited to see.
So usually they don't bring coordinators. It's usually just going to be so Mario will be there, and you know Mario will be the first interview that we do. He'll come on with Joe. We will not jump over Mario for any other ACC coaches or players or anything like that. I really am looking forward to it because look, anytime we get Mario on, it's great, right?
And absolutely,
he's really good with us, and we with Joe, and we love bringing him on. And so it'll be a good interview to start the Tuesday of the ACC kickoff going. We are definitely looking forward to that. All right, let's get some texts here. And my 5-1 guy, he just keeps rambling about taking calls, but he's not calling. So that's cowardly, man. That's very disappointing. 5-1 guy, you are a true coward. 11 wins. Caller needs to sit the bottle down. Better chance of 11 losses, says 540 area code. You might have to Google that area code too while you're at it, Dan. I don't know where that is. I think the Dolphins are going to be in the 500 range.
Ooh, Virginia.
That would be my guess. Virginia, nice. Right? Wouldn't you think so? I wonder if that guy's going to the Virginia Tech game. That would be my guess. Would be closer to 500 than anything.
Well, that's
I don't think they're going to derail.
Which, you know, is
and
good
derail
thing
is what,
thing.
5 or 6 wins?
Yeah,
that would be rough.
If you only get 5 wins, you know how hard it is in the NFL to be somewhat talented and only get 5 wins? Things really need to fall apart. Like I said, to be the best team in the league is really, really hard, and to be the worst team in the league is really, really hard. I mean, when you say hard,
yes.
You know what I mean?
No. It is easy to be mediocre. It is hard to be good. It is hard to be really bad.
Yeah.
100%.
Teams absolutely have to work at being the worst team and getting the number one overall pick.
Sorry to interrupt, but we have our infamous 5-1 caller ready to talk.
Listen, this better be good, man. Go ahead. Who
is this?
Better
be good.
What's your name?
You're telling me... My name is Cap, and you're telling me this better be good. I've been saying that for 5 years.
You've been saying what for 5 years?
The product on the field better be good. You guys have been force-feeding us that the product was going to be good.
Who's force-feeding you anything?
Bro, now you're having issue.
The product's going to be good.
Now you're having issue with pushback from the fans for 6 months when we had to sit back and hear for 6 years. You have to sit back and take it like a man now, bro. It's just fair. And you know I'm right. You've been hyping up this team left and right. What have we got back in return? Nothing but split arguments, a divide in the fan base. Do you think that's right? To hype up a team, not even take calls from the fans, knowing how pissed off they are? You really think that's fair?
You do sound pissed off, and I don't know who you think I don't know who you think I am or who you're talking to.
I'm not talking to Joe because Joe's smart enough to take vacation because he knew this was coming. Now you got to deal with it.
Well, deal with what? I don't hype up the Dolphins at all, man.
That's your problem. You hype them up too much. You hype them up too much sponsorship-wise. But when they screw up, you're not mad enough to call them out.
All right, man. This is why we don't do this.
No, this is why
take him off. This is why we don't do this, because this is just. I mean, well, I don't even know what he's like. What are you talking about, my man? Like, who hypes a hype up for the sponsors? Like that's what you come with?
You're saying someone texts in and said they were going to get 11 wins.
I wanted to give this guy a chance to give his hot take. Instead, he's like screaming at me anything to do with what's going on with the Dolphins.
You did the anti-hype. You said someone texts in and says 11 wins,
man.
And you said, I don't think that's realistic. And now he's saying you're hyping him up. You're de-hyping him, it seems like. Yeah.
Brutal.
And now we have to face the fury of the fans. What?
Yeah, I don't know what that. This is why, Dan. That is sad because I thought the guy was going to come on and like, hey, you want to talk about the Dolphins? You want to give a good point or
let
a
me,
take?
Let me explain
something.
Why they're going to win 11 games. Let me explain.
And he's like
why.
Screaming at me like I hype up the Dolphins for the sponsors. I don't even know what the guy's talking about.
You also probably
we're not even the home of the Dolphins.
And who are the sponsors of the Dolphins?
I have no idea what the guy's talking about. And I have ripped the Dolphins to shreds over the last handful of years. All I do is dog Joe.
But Joe's smart
for
enough to take
them up like that.
Joe's taking vacation. He's smart enough to know.
Yikes. Anyway, so guys, here's a nice text.
But he's more than welcome to text.
Dan Day's Dolphins postgame show is legendary. That is a good one.
He is more than welcome to call into the postgame show and do that, because we get all types. And some people call up. I'm not going to lie. I'm leaving the stadium. I'm kind of drunk. I'm like, please, feel free.
We're going to let's do this, because this is now the 51 guy. We're just going to call 51 guy is getting ripped. We should let him take a breather and call back tomorrow. Let him go after Omar. Omar will be here with us tomorrow, and he can... Yeah. This guy goes, why is he mad at you, Hollywood? He makes Dolphins fans look stupid. I don't know. He's, look, and here's the thing. I did the Hurricanes postgame show for many years, so I get it. Like, you want to call in, use a hose, a punching bag, that's perfectly fine. I don't understand it today. I'm kind of sitting here. I asked a simple question this morning. I said, do you think the Dolphins roster is better this year than it was last year? I said, no, I don't believe that it is. I think the Dolphins are going to be around a 500 team. You can't be 500 anymore because there's 17 games. It's an odd number. But that's my scorching hot take this morning on the Dolphins. I think they have a better chance of going under the win total than they do over.
And you said the roster is probably worse on paper this year than it was last year. That's how you hype up the fans, bro.
Oh, my God, man. Look, I'm not here. I don't care if people buy tickets. I don't care if people watch the games, go to the games, listen to the games. I don't care what people do. I have no dog in that fight. You know, you want to listen to Joe on the radio, do the games, tremendous. You don't, that's fine too. You want to watch him on TV, enjoy. You want to pay money to go to the games, go. You get free tickets, whatever it is. I don't care.
That's you.
I'm not here to hype them up or sell tickets or anything.
You have no investment. No investment whatsoever.
Tommy and Hialeah says 51 is mental issues. Like, you control anything. Yeah, that's the funny part of it is, like, I don't have anything to do with it, man. We just sit here and try to, you know, put on an entertaining talk show, and I hope people don't take us too seriously.
I think just 25 years of not winning a playoff game has worn our guy down a little bit. It's wearing me down a little bit.
Guys, this folks getting abused like shopping at Home Depot. I don't know why this guy brought up Home Depot. I was at Home Depot yesterday. I rented a van.
A panel van, like?
It was like, it's two seats in the front.
Yeah.
Like 100,000 miles.
Panel van.
Just a
panel
big,
van.
Clunky piece of crap. And it just had a huge back.
Panel van, yeah.
Oh, it was so clunky.
There's another name for it, but I am,
by the way, I'm very fortunate that I bought the damage waiver because I had to fill it up with gas. It's like a rental car. You got to fill it up at the end. And
hit a little.
I may have at the gas station.
Yeah.
Hit a curb of some kind.
Yeah, they know that's going to happen.
I always, by the way, buy the rental car.
Oh, damage. You do?
Always buy the coverage. I'm a sucker for the coverage. I'm the same guy that buys extended warranties, though, too.
Oh, you're the... Because
I'm always scared it's going to break, and then you just be stuck with it.
You were excited about a TV with a five-year warranty, you were telling me yesterday.
I told you, like, this is the selling point for me. They're throwing in the five-year warranty. Like, I got to do
you're
it.
You're like, I'm going to buy it anyway.
I joined Costco just to get that TV with the warranty, man. All right, let's do this. Let's take a pause. We all need to take a breather here. that call was interesting, to say the least. We will take a break. We'll be back on QAM after this.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in here on QAM on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Kind enough to join us right now because we need to some positivity in our lives after Solana. I just got crushed by a caller. As you know, we don't take calls very often, and that guy was kind of like just all over the map. But we'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline here. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale, one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. He is the co-host of the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show. I hear you got naming rights in there too. Solana, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Thank you. I don't think it'll come with a pay raise, but listen, you know.
How did you negotiate that? Who made the decision? Was that you?
No joke. I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't ask for it. I don't know if you believe me or not, but I truthfully did not ask for it. And I was kind of caught off guard. I don't know if you saw the video, but I posted like the live reaction of Hawk telling me on the show. And I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, you've been in the radio industry a long time. Pretty cool.
It is cool. I ask Joe all the time if I can have my name in the show. He says no.
Well, you belong. You, if anything, you belong. You know, with your name on this show.
Thank you. More than
I did even on Hawk and Crowder. You've been working.
Too long, Solana.
Twelve years now.
12?
No, I don't know.
I've been at the station since 2009, doing all different odd jobs. I've been with Joe for like a decade, though. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Hey, if the suits are listening one day, Hollywood and Solana show doesn't sound too bad to me.
There you go, man. When all these guys retire, that's the future of QAM, and we can have guys like that guy that just called me and told me I've hyped up the Dolphins so much, Solana, for the sponsors, apparently. This guy just wanted a piece of me this morning. It was like, this is all on you, man. You hyped this up so much, and I think the Dolphins are a dumpster fire. But I don't. Apparently, that got lost in the translation here. But
it's funny, Hollywood, like how people truthfully believe that, you know, like we're in bed with the Dolphins, and you know, the Dolphins call us every day and kind of give us like a laundry list of things to talk about, and then we're just spreading their agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what people truthfully believe.
Well, I don't know if you know this. True. We're actually having Tua on tomorrow.
Are you really?
No. No, we're not.
Right.
That would be the second time he's ever come on the show, and no, we are not. there's your agenda for you.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason why McDaniel doesn't come on. I mean,
well, let me ask
you
this, dude.
Not partnered with the Dolphins, literally.
No, we're not. And like I said last segment, I said I don't care if people watch, listen, go to the game. You can do it. People can do whatever they want. I honestly could not possibly care less. But anyway, I asked a simple question this morning, a very simple question. Do you think the Dolphins are better on paper this year than they were last year? Yes or no? What do you think?
I think no, but
well, obviously, right? Isn't it obvious that they're not? And this is not a health thing.
Yeah,
I can't throw Tua's health into this thing. This is just as the roster sits today.
Going into last year, there were just a lot of question marks regarding holes on the team, right? Like up front, okay, Jalen Phillips ended up coming back for the first couple weeks of the season, but we didn't know in training camp. Like, we didn't know this guy was just a Greek god and was going to look as good as he did before he got hurt again. And then Bradley Chubb was a big question mark too. Remember, we didn't know coming into the season, hey, is Bradley Chubb going to be available? Is Jalen Phillips, what are they going to look like? So with all these question marks, and then even like Calais Campbell, hey, we didn't really know what he was going to end up doing last year at that age. Could he follow up a monster season he had prior in Atlanta? So there were a lot of question marks up front. And then in the offense, you had Jonnu Smith. Took him a little bit of time, but you had Jonnu Smith. Like, you had a couple names that you could throw around. You know what, Hollywood? I'm kind of changing my mind. I think this team, there's less holes outside of the secondary, which is, you know, I mean, great that we got Minka, but outside of the secondary, there's a lot less holes. There's a lot less, what is this going to look like? I think your backfield is pretty much solidified.
But what did they do to get significantly better, though? That's the problem. I don't know what they did to get better. And you got guys coming back. Like, here's the thing with Tyreek Hill. And I'm sure you saw the video they put out the other day where he's running around and he looks like Tyreek Hill, right? Mm-hmm. I am very, very curious to see what he looks like when, you know, this season actually kicks off and it's week one and he's out there. Is he going to be 2,000-yard Tyreek, or did he lose a step? Did age catch up with him? Is he starting to get banged up? Those are real, real things.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, look, and we were going through some of the futures on Hard Rock Bet App yesterday, just, you know, randomly.
Did you see his receiving total?
Yeah.
I've been rambling about this for a week.
Yeah, they're begging you. They're begging you to take the over on 1,000 yards.
God, doesn't it feel like it?
It's set at 975, right? That's what
I've never seen. I've never seen a betting number that they are begging you to take more than that one. It's almost like they know. Like, they know something bad is going to happen. Like, here's the thing, though. Even if Tua gets hurt, I think he still gets that number easily.
Yeah. I mean, he should.
The only way he does it is if he gets hurt.
But, okay, Hollywood, here's what I'll say. backup quarterback. I'm not telling you I'm a huge Zach Wilson fan or Quinn Ewers fan. Like, I don't know anything truthfully about Quinn Ewers. I know he was pretty good in college. And Zach Wilson, you know, he hasn't found a landing spot. It was a disaster in his first stop. But that's a step up from Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle, isn't it? Which is how you started the season, I think. I think that's a step up. At the very least, you have a capable quarterback that we've seen in the NFL.
So I think it's a step up.
I think already it's a step up.
Well, anyone would be a step up from what they had last year. Okay. I mean, last year they were calling around the practice squads, man, and trying to find warm bodies to play that position.
Yeah. So, look, man, like, I think at the Dolphins, because Hawk and Crowder were looking at the schedule yesterday, and they're like, uh-oh, I mean, if you don't win your first couple games, this could be a 4-13 season, yes. Or if the Dolphins are great, it could be 13-4. And I'm looking here, and I'm saying, guys, if Tua Tagovailoa is healthy, if Tua's healthy, no joke, like, this team, it is what it is. It's the same team that we've seen the last couple of years. Even when last year Tua was healthy, it's the same team that they were, which is they can compete with some of the best teams in terms of staying close in competition, maybe beat a team that's probably a little bit above their punching class. Remember, they go into Baltimore year one of Mike McDaniel. They're down 20-plus points, and they come back, and Tua has the game of his life week two, and they win. Like, they weren't better than that Baltimore team, but they beat them on that given day. Tua played out of his mind, and they beat them. Like, I think they have games capable, those types of games in them, right? They're capable of that, but can they do it consistently week in, week out? No, like, they're an above average team who, if their quarterback is healthy, will probably win, you know, 9 games.
So you're taking the over slightly on that 8.5.
I am. But again, that's a massive caveat, which is yes, Tua Tagovailoa going to be healthy. Hollywood, for the past couple seasons, I've been very, very, very hard on this Miami Dolphins team, truthfully, because I think when your starting point is, okay, your franchise quarterback who you paid can't get hit, that is not a good place to be. However, with that being said, I think when Tua is healthy, he is a very good quarterback. I genuinely believe that. I know some people don't. I think they think he's trash, and I don't think so. I think he's good. I think the offense is set up to function around him. But at the end of the day, when that's your starting point with that type of quarterback, what you need more than anything is fat guys up front to protect him. Mm-hmm. And this general manager refused to put resources to keeping Tua from getting hurt. And I never understood that. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. So here you are, you know, a season removed from what was supposed to be the season. He got hurt week two, and, you know, your team never was able to recover from that. I think the offensive line looks a little bit better going into this season. At least Liam Eikenberg won't be a starter day one. They drafted a guy in the second round, Savat Inea. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. Like, I don't know, like, I'm not as down this year on this team as I have been in past years. Mm-hmm. I know the secondary is what it is. Like, that's the big question mark. But if you have Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb back playing, you know, at the very least close to what they were 2 years ago before they got hurt, when they were just balling towards the middle part of that season, that alleviates a lot off your linebackers and your DBs. Plus, if Kenneth Grant can make an impact, any type of impact, like, Your D line might look a lot better than you expect. I just think this team is fine. You know, I don't think they're trash. I don't think they're bottom five in the NFL.
I think they're mediocre.
A good team.
They're middle of the road.
They're good.
Which is the worst place to be, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
I'm guessing Solana by week, you know, 12, 13, whatever. They'll have them right there on the graphic in the hunt, right? And they'll either make sneak into the playoffs and get waxed in the first game, or they'll just miss, right? That's probably what they're destined to be. But I will tell you, I work with one of the great hope salesmen of all time for the Dolphins. I can't do it this year, man. I can't do the buy-in and letdown that I did last year with him. I didn't think it was going to go well last year. I thought the roster got worse going into last season, and I bought in, man. I listened to him. I bought in. I've lost money on games because of him. I can't do it, man. I just can't
Julian
do it
Hill,
this year.
Julian Hill, anytime touchdown. Tell me, bro. Julian Hill, anytime touchdown. Let's go.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Because if you say no, it's just going to make you look bad. Can you hang another segment with us?
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Are you kidding me? I bailed. I didn't wake up early enough, so let's go. I'm good.
You have a late night? Hey, I got to tell you, speaking of late night, so they're replaying the Marlins game right now. They're in the top of the ninth. The Marlins are up 12-1 on the Reds. And this guy who is pitching for the Reds is throwing the ball like they are playing coach pitch.
What, he's just throwing up watermelons
for the Marlins? No, he is literally throwing the ball as if they are playing coach. You have to watch this ninth inning. This reminds me of, like, so I went to the 50-50 game when Ohtani was here, right? The Marlins-Dodgers game. Yeah, and they brought in, like, the first baseman to pitch to Ohtani, and he threw him that, like, coach pitch batting practice pitch, and he put it in, you know, hit it over the stadium. They have a guy out there right now who is coach pitching to the Marlins. What is happening here?
So Jamie just made me aware that that is Jose Trevino, the Cincinnati Reds catcher, actually.
The catcher is pitching.
So that's why he looks like he is pitching coach pitch, yes.
That is fantastic. That's great, though. They have no more pitchers on the roster that can, like, get them out of the ninth inning.
They're losing 12-1. They're not wasting any arms.
He's not even actually throwing. This is coach pitch. And the guy's laughing. The guy who's batting is laughing.
Because he was faking like he was going to bunt.
Let's see here. Marlins, they don't score again, right? Didn't it end 12-0? Oh, he popped it up. You bum.
How about the Marlins, man?
The backup catcher. Nice catch. They might make the wild card, man. There would be no better story in sports if the Marlins made the wild card. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, there you go again, Danny.
The Panthers would have to three-peat to beat that story.
There you go again. Propaganda. Propaganda, Danny.
I'm selling Marlins hope here this morning, man.
What about a little heat hope? I can provide that if you want. Ooh. I mean, I'll talk Norman Powell all day, baby.
What about Kasprys Jakučionis, man? What a stat line.
Hey, you know what I will say about Kasprys Jakučionis, Solana? He's playing really hard in the summer league, bro.
I mean,
I know you're big on playing hard. I know he's playing his ass off up there. All right, Solano, hang with us another segment. We'll take a break. We'll come back with him. We'll talk some heat ball when we come back on QAM.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in here on QAM. Steph was just in here. He was talking about his little vacation went on. Solana's with us.
Fired up about Rhode Island, man.
Yeah, he's like, Steph just got back from like some rich part of like
the Northeast.
Northeast or something, Solana. And he was like, no, it's not me. It's not me. It's my girl. Like, he didn't want us to like think like, oh, I'm the rich guy like vacationing around town. Now he's upset probably that we're talking about it in the other room there. Steph's part of high society now, bro. That's what he does. I said, why don't you come back in when Joe and Bo are here and you can talk about the country club lifestyle, you know, and really you can all bond over that together. Solana's with us here from the afternoon program. The Heat, Solana, as you do cover them fairly often here on the station. You do the pregame, postgame, all that good stuff. What's the plan, man? What is going on over there? They need a – we talked a lot about this. It appears that they need a number one, right? And the Kevin Durant thing was interesting because do you want to go all in on that guy at that stage in his career? I don't know that Kevin Durant exactly impacts winning. With that being said, the East took a dramatic turn through these playoffs, right? And Indiana is not as much of a threat anymore. They lost Miles Turner. Tyrese Haliburton's gone for a year. The Bucks are a dumpster fire. The Celtics seem to be rebuilding. Was this the Heat's window to kind of make a move and get a little more aggressive here because of what happened elsewhere? Or are they just okay being patient here?
Yeah, I mean, well, clearly they were okay being patient because that's kind of like what they did, right? Yeah. They didn't go all in for Kevin Durant. They didn't want to trade, from what's being reported, Nikola Jokic or Kalil Ware plus picks. They didn't want to give up the farm, like the guys that they value. And look, whether or not you think those guys are valuable, that's a different question, right? Because everybody feels a certain way about Nikola Jokic and Kalil Ware and Jaime Jaquez Jr., and we can go down the list. For Kevin Durant, they didn't feel like, you know, it was worth it to go after the 37-year-old aging superstar, despite him having a good season last year, Hollywood. Like, that gets forgotten. Scoring-wise, he put up good numbers, but that Suns team was awful. Like, that has to come into account here, where he's playing with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, and they can't even make the playoffs. So despite his numbers, I mean, that's kind of what you're dealing with. A guy that outside of one season in Brooklyn, truthfully, hasn't really had the type of success you expect from an all-time great, especially at his age now, and the amount of money he was going to have to you were going to have to give him. So
I don't even accept. I don't even fully accept his championship. I mean, how could
guys?
You? How could
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he's joined the best team in NBA history
after they beat him. Yeah. That's not a good look. A good look.
Look, he's a great player. He's Carmelo Anthony, right? I mean, is there not much difference in their games?
I think he's a lot better than Melo, man. I really do. I think Kevin Durant just. I'm not talking legacy, right? To me, when you do the LeBron Jordan thing and you do the all-time great list, there's two different conversations. There's on the court, and then there's legacy. Jordan's legacy, forever unmatched. 6 NBA Finals appearances, 6 NBA championships, never went to a Game 7, and he did it all from that perspective. Like, that to me is unmatched. But on the court, LeBron James can do more on the court than the Michael Jordan than Michael Jordan could. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way I look at it. And to me, Kevin Durant, when you just look at on the court success, not legacy, not title, bro, the guy can score with ease at every single level on the floor, inside the paint, at the dunker spot. He can throw it down with the best of them in his prime. He could literally pull up with both hands, going left, going right from anywhere on the floor. And he's a knockdown 3-point shooter who you literally can't contest because he has a longer wingspan than anybody in the NBA. Like, that is unheard of, bro. That's 2K stuff. So to me, he's better than Melo, and it's not an indictment on Melo. He might be the greatest just pure scorer we've ever seen in the game.
I'm okay with Steph Curry. I can live with that.
Yeah, but is it worth trading, you know, your young guys for him at this age? No, but to your greater point, Hollywood, yeah, the East looks wide open. So why wouldn't the Heat go for it? But now, knowing what we know, getting Norman Powell for absolutely nothing, two guys who probably wouldn't have cracked the rotation. Man, I think the Heat and Pat Riley deserve a lot of credit for that. I really do, because you got probably the Clippers' second best player a season ago, and that's when Kawhi Leonard was healthy. He was their best player most nights during the regular season. You got him for nothing, absolutely nothing, and I think he helps you right now.
I agree with you, and it's funny, I said this the other day, like, the Heat are victims of their own success, right? Like, they have a couple of mediocre seasons, and people start freaking out because they've been really good for a really long time, and they're still considered one of the premier franchises in professional sports. So they have kind of done this to themselves, right? And people expect them to make some big move here and, you know, land a flashy star. And the other thing is you can't reach, right? Like, you can't, you want to go all in on a Kevin Durant, you know, it's tough, man. You don't want to reach and like overextend yourself and get in a bad spot because you're trying desperately to remain relevant.
I'm with you. I liked the idea of staying flexible. I like the idea of, hey, we still think some of these young players, Khalil Ware, Nikola Jovic, can either, you know, continue to grow here, given the right playing time, which to me was important. Hey, that's the other side of this. Hey, you didn't trade those two guys for Kevin Durant? Okay, well, then you better play them, right? Like, you better play them next year. None of this where Eric Spoelstra has a short leash on Nikola Jovic, and none of this where Khalil Ware can't crack the rotation for the first 5 months of the season. Like, hey, you didn't want to trade those guys. You believe in them. Give them playing time. Give them consistent minutes. So that, to me, is the other side of this. But I'm with you, bro. The Heat are victims of their own success. I had to kind of go on a rant last week and say, what are we doing with telling Pat Riley he should step down? That Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and Nick Garrison don't know how to trade for players anymore. Don't know, you know, that the game has passed them by. And I'm kind of just sitting here like, Hollywood, we're doing that after two years removed from the NBA Finals. I understand the Heat deserve criticism. This is what I said. The Heat deserve criticism. They've made some really, really, really frustrating moves, and they have whiffed on some superstars. Don't get me wrong. But you're 2 years removed from a stretch where you went to 2 NBA Finals in 5 years and 3 Eastern Conference Finals. You were shot away from 3 NBA Finals. You did that after trading Josh Richardson and a first-round pick for Jimmy Butler. That's what you accomplished. And because of two, you know, seemingly pretty down years where you were still a playoff team, mind you, you're calling for the front office to quit? I can't wrap my head around that. I'm not even there, close to being there yet. So, you know, you show a little bit of patience, and at the very least, you get Norman Powell, which, again, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that makes you a contender, but in this East, it could make you a playoff team. And, hey, you ride this to January, early February. You see where you are. You kind of gauge your prospects. And who knows? By then, maybe a Giannis does want out. Maybe a Jokic over in Denver who didn't want to sign the extension. Maybe he wants out. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. By the way, can you imagine that guy in Miami? He's a weird dude.
Very.
He is a weird dude. He always looks miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. But unless when he's, always lumbers, home drinking. Lumbers. Lumbers up and down the floor. Arms are always bloody. I mean,
now he saw it, man. I don't know, that radio host in Kansas City called Mahomes overweight. That guy looks overweight, but he puts up the numbers, man. Numbers don't lie, unless you're sure. You're Omar Kelly and you're rambling off Tua numbers. Sometimes those numbers lie. All right, Solana, you want to hang for a little bit by popular demand here.
Let's do it.
You and I agree on too much, man. We seem to agree on everything here. We'll get a little more into this, though. I do want to ask you, because I couldn't sleep the other night, and I just saw Barry Jackson was fighting with people on Twitter about Tyler and Bam and trades and, you know, what rebuilds and all this different stuff. I'm curious what you think about some of that stuff. So we'll take a pause. The 9 o'clock hour coming up next here on QAM.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.